And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. My prayer today is that the circumstances will occur or exist that will move you toward a different place in your thoughts concerning your health. And so let us begin. Well, let me give out the phone number first. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Unless if you're calling from Mount Selman, then it's 903-586-5257. Alrighty. It wasn't that terribly long ago, and of course I can get away with this because, you know, I only have like about 7 listeners anyway. You're one of them. But my mother-in-law was having terrible trouble with her gallbladder. Actually, somebody's calling. People are more important than my stories. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. How are you this fine Saturday?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm so glad you answered.
Oh, you're welcome.
We have been listening to you for quite a while, and you've been so helpful with my husband. He's had high cholesterol and high blood pressure, and we've just been following everything that you've said, and it's really helped him a lot. But we got bad news about 2 or 3 weeks ago. My brother has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And so we're not sure. He hasn't been to see the doctor yet to see what its stage it's in. But I wanted to be able to give him advice on what he should be doing, you know, holistically to help with if he goes through chemo and things like that.
How old
is he? And I know he's going to be 50 in July.
Oh, my. He's just a kid, 50 years of age.
Yeah.
Did he have any other health problems prior to this, or was he perfectly healthy?
Oh no, he had cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma when he was in high school.
Does that mean they treated him with chemotherapy and such back then?
Yes, okay. A long time ago, and he had the therapy for maybe like 6 months to a year, and it was completely gone, and it's been gone ever since. He's had any problems. But he's been an alcoholic, so he had problems with alcoholism for quite a while, and he's just now, maybe within the last 6 months to a year, kind of turned everything around and just doing so much better.
Job.
And
good
yeah.
job. I'm so proud of him. That's such a beautiful story.
Yeah, and so it's just so heartbreaking to, you know, he's finally gotten things back together and doing things on his own and to hear this, you know. So now, I wanted to try to give him as much chance as possible.
Now, I'm not sure what the laws of the land are, so you're going to help me out here, but is it technically against the law for me to kidnap him at gunpoint and take him to a Caribbean island?
you have my blessing.
Okay, good. Just show me what is, you know, just tell me what his routine is, and I'll get some chloroform and put it over a cotton washcloth and sneak up behind him, and he'll wake up, and I say, "Whoa, sorry, buddy. All you have is coconut oil here and coconut and fish."
That's right.
Would you like some goji berries from the forest? Anyway, I know we can't do that. And, of course,
right.
I still remember this. It was a long time ago. I was watching, it may have been Johnny Carson, like 1990. But Michael Landon was on there. And you remember Michael Landon from Little House on the Prairie and maybe, was it Bonanza?
Yeah, he was in Bonanza.
Okay. I was going to say, never mind. But anyway, but supposedly he had really had a pretty good bout with alcoholism. I mean, I have no proof of that. But it's just very, very hard on the pancreas. And, of course, stopping the alcohol consumption is the best thing. And if you and I were just to pour through the medical research, I mean, I could just tell you in a nutshell, number one, people that consume absolutely the most sugar are going to have the most pancreatic cancer. And maybe the way that I want to present this is, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but alcohol behaves more like sugar in the body than it does protein or fat. Okay? So the pancreas definitely becomes swollen and inflamed. Any organ is inflamed is going to be more prone to making genetic mistakes and errors, thus leading to cancer. The some other research that comes to my mind is those that consume the least amount of green leafy vegetables, they're lower in carbohydrates. And all I'm referring to is things like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, asparagus, kale, spinach, romaine lettuce, greens, zucchini, cauliflower. I know cauliflower is not green, but you get the gist of it. And
right.
So you find that people that consume the most of those, they absolutely have the lowest pancreatic cancer. So one message is, he may be, I'm not saying that I know where he feels right now. I feel for him, though. Mm-hmm. I really do. Oh, my, you don't know how terrible I feel for the situation. But just feeling bad about it doesn't do anything to turn it around. So can I give you a course of action that might be a little bit different than what the chemotherapy doctors are going to give him?
Yes, please.
Okay.
We definitely trust you.
Well, I don't know that I deserve it. Well, you do. Of course you trust me. That means you're going to do anything I say today, right?
That's exactly right.
All right. And please, if you will stop me, ask questions. But if you have a pencil or a pen handy, let me just kind of hit the ground running with this stuff, okay?
Perfect.
Okay. Number one, anytime somebody has a Hodgkin's lymphoma, whether they're cured or not, I always think I want to give them more vitamin K2.
Okay.
Would you care to guess where K2 is stored within the human body? The pancreas. Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that I'm going to ask you just to consider on faith is taking pancreatic enzymes.
Okay.
And probably enough of them to where you almost feel slightly sick in the stomach.
Okay.
And you can look up that information.
What is that?
Pancreatic enzymes. Maybe the smallest portion of your... Did you say this is your brother-in-law?
My brother.
Oh, sorry. Your brother. Even better. The smallest portion of your brother's pancreas is devoted to producing hormones. For example, insulin. Mm-hmm. And so if he doesn't eat sugar or drink alcohol, then what he's going to be doing, he's going to give his pancreas a rest.
Okay.
And if he eats real food that contains their own natural enzymes to help digest themselves and break themselves down, he's giving his pancreas a rest. But most likely, he's probably consumed foods that are highly processed and highly cooked and denatured and all that other stuff. So if we could give him pancreatic enzymes, we're trying to give his pancreas a rest.
Okay.
And those are easy to come by. You can go into any health food store and say, Dr. Morgan says pancreatic enzymes, I demand the highest quality now. And they'll say, oh, Dr. Morgan says so. Why didn't you say so? And they'll bring them to you with white gloves on a silver platter. And then you'll take them and check them out. So I want you to consider that. Now, this is just what's in my heart right now. So you can take it all with a grain of salt. But there's a type of tea. It's made of burdock root, sheep sorrel, slippery elm, and rhubarb. I mean, turkey rhubarb. Have you ever had rhubarb yogurt?
No.
I have. I think I'm just about willing to try anything that's put in front of me, but I liked it. But anyway, but the herb is turkey rhubarb, but it's called Essiac tea.
Okay, spell that.
E-S-S-I-A-C-A-A-C. It's like Casey spelled backwards. Let me just write it down, goodness. Okay, all the English teachers are just rolling their eyes right now. E-S-S-I-A-C.
Okay,
tea. And, yeah, and you can get that easily, and he can start sipping and drinking on that just immediately. Immediately.
Okay.
As in yesterday we wanted to start this. And okay. So he can start taking that. Now, the other thing, and if you don't need me to go in just a great detail, his fortunes are going to rise or fall based on the amount of good beneficial bacteria that he has within his colon. And so if he could find a way to start consuming probiotics,
okay.
Oh, that would be a godsend.
Gotcha.
Point number next. Okay. The whole reason that I wanted to kidnap him, I'm sorry, I didn't want to kidnap him. I was going to hire a mafia kidnapping team in a black van. He'll be walking down the road and they'll pull up beside him, throw him in there, and he'll wake up in the Caribbean. When people consume oils that are rich in saturated fat or medium chain triglycerides, that's what coconut oil would be, what you're doing is effectively you're trying to effectively starve pancreatic cancer cells. You don't want to give them any fuel at all. And again, this is Roy's oversimplification, but cancer cells, by their very nature, they completely refuse oxygen. See, me, I kind of like oxygen. If you wrap some duct tape around my nose and mouth, it may not be long before I'm a little bit desperate for air. I don't know. A minute, maybe? 30 seconds? Actually, I might get kind of panicky and need some in 1 second. But cancer cells, they do not like oxygen. They can't stand it. What they want is they want sugar. And if you give them sugar, oh, do they want to start fermenting it. But the problem is, they start, through the fermentation process, they start kicking off all this acid. It's usually called lactic acid. Mm-hmm. And so cancer cells, by their very nature, oh, they know what they're doing, baby. They totally secrete the fermentation byproduct of sugar and fermentation called acid. And they secrete this around themselves, which makes them more impenetrable to the active, living, breathing immune system. And so, very, very clever. Just like last week. See, I'm both happy and probably a little bit angry at the same time. But last week, I don't know if you heard the program, but I read the latest scientific findings of aggressive forms of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed that this is a new idea that they're just now coming up with. They're going, well, one of the aspects of a tumor that's very aggressive is it secretes a lot of acid, which makes it less vulnerable to the immune system kind of getting after it, eating it, beating it up, getting rid of it. And so how do we combat that? And they showed there was a 100% cure rate. You're probably thinking I'm making this up. What is 100%? That's all of it. Complete, total, without question. When they injected baking soda directly into the breast cancer tumor, which is easy for a doctor to do. The problem is baking soda is the most expensive substance on earth. I mean, I'm just guessing a 50-pound bag of it might go for what, $15 maybe?
Oh, my goodness.
Or a truckload. Yeah, we could have a truckload of it shipped to everyone needing cancer treatment in Texas for, what, $100? It's just,
yeah.
You realize I was being just a little sarcastic. And okay.
I
don't mean to harm anybody's feelings, but it is what it is. And so they showed specifically that when they injected the baking soda directly in the tumor, and baking soda, by its very nature, is more of an alkaline substance. So you can see, if you asked me, if you said, Dr. Morgan, what is the pH of a person's blood? Oh, let me think, between 7.35 and 7.4? So the blood is slightly alkaline. That is the ideal pH. Your bodies are working toward that, and the pancreas plays some role in that. So if we could get your brother to maybe consider about a half a teaspoon or so of baking soda every day, stir in a little bit of water and drink it down, I'm not promising you the moon and the stars, but I'm saying it can help change the chemistry of the body for the better.
Okay.
Now, about 6 months earlier, I read an article about the latest, greatest cancer treatment on earth of all time, and it costs $5. But it's not available here in the U.S., and you know why it's not available here in the U.S.? Because this treatment is only reserved for very, very poor third world countries that don't have any money, and they're hopeless, and there's no way they can get these multi-zillion dollar cancer treatment centers. No. Because they're so destitute, we're going to come up with a remedy for them. Although the remedy was shown to have exactly a 100% cure rate at destroying the tumors. Would you like to hear about it?
Yes.
Okay, so what they did was they took ethyl alcohol. I don't know if you call that ethyl, I mean Everclear. I'm not really sure what those things are. Listen, I don't go to the liquor store and drink alcohol. I wouldn't know. But there's probably somebody that knows what Everclear is. But you know how when you go into the store and they may have this hand sanitizer or, you know, it's like a gelatinous clear gel that you rub on your hands and you can wipe down the shopping cart?
Yeah.
If you've ever been to the Walmart in Jacksonville, I think I know why people wipe down the shopping carts before they
yeah.
Sorry, that's a different topic. Let's stay on track here, Roy. But what they do in third world countries is they'll take, they call it ethyl cellulose. It's just ethyl alcohol. I love that bird in the background. It's ethyl alcohol. They make in a gelatinous form, And the reason why they kind of put it in a gel form is when they find a tumor, and can I just make something up here? Let's say they found there's a big honking tumor in a person's pancreas, okay? And they know where the epicenter of it is. All they really have to do is find someone that has a steady hand, and they can aim for the tumor and then just insert the needle into the tumor and then push the syringe or the contents of the syringe, which is ethyl cellulose. It's just a gelatinous form of alcohol. And I think the reason they make it gelatinous is because they don't want it leaking out of the tumor. They want this gel to stay there, kind of like Jell-O. or like caulking. And so if they inject it in there, guess what the cure rate is for these tumors and cancers? 100%.
Really? Wow.
And all it did was it took maybe $5 worth of equipment to do it. And this, so that makes me very, very happy to hear that. It makes me very happy to hear about breast cancer cells that are very aggressive being destroyed by baking soda. But we're in America. What do you do? Are you going to call the oncologist and say, what's your game plan here, buddy? He's going to be talking about chemo, radiation, stuff like that. And I don't mean to be negative, but the numbers on pancreatic cancer are not what I call great numbers.
Yeah.
And so I don't want, you already know that, though, don't you?
Yeah. And we've heard that the chemotherapy is, it's not very helpful.
It's
and
not helpful at all.
Yeah, the quality of life is nothing.
No, and you have to forgive me. I'm just only rendering my opinion. If I had pancreatic cancer, that would be the last thing that I would do. I would make sure that I live my life to the fullest. But what we need right now is we need oxygen. Baking soda is going to help increase oxygen. If he starts eating green leafy vegetables and high-quality cuts of meat and fish and stuff like that, we're going to start getting more oxygen. We got to get him outside sunbathing so he can start doing heliotherapy. Let the natural radiant energy of the sun strike the skin over the pancreas. Take his shirt off, make him sunbathe. See, that was part of my plan for kidnapping him because I was going to take him to a very sunny environment. And so,
we're going to go too if he does that.
Well, and I'm only telling you, I would more than welcome. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I would gladly, and I'm saying this very humbly, please, if you're an oncologist and you treat pancreatic cancer, could you call right now and tell us exactly what the numbers are on the outcome of this and your success rate? And that way I can ask some detailed questions and stuff like that, but that would be very helpful. But right now, he needs to run for his life toward health and healing and rejuvenation. So we got to take these pancreatic cells and turn them from being cancerous. And we've got to flip the switch, and one of the ways is you got to starve them to death. Don't give them anything to eat. And a ketogenic diet is one of the ways of doing that. I did not say that a ketogenic diet is a panacea, but for right now, it may turn the tide. I don't have a crystal ball here. That's just a figure of speech. I don't believe in I don't believe in magic.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, let me ask you this, and you just tell me your humble opinion. Would you rather just form an opinion in your own mind that there's no hope, or would you rather just cry out to God and present your case before Him and say, Lord, you don't have to do anything that we want you to do. We're mere mortals here on earth. Your address is in the heavens above, but you're the God of healing. If you choose to act, you can. We're crying out, please come to my brother's aid. I'd rather do that than not do that, wouldn't you?
Yes, and we do. We have so many people praying.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
That is the most beautiful story. I just love it. But he knows that there's people praying for him, right?
He does. And he plays music in the Infant Jesus Catholic Church in Lumberton. He plays the music for the 6 o'clock Mass, so...
Are you trying to suggest that he's superior to me because I have musical ability? Is that where we're getting at here?
I would never do that, Dr. Morgan.
Well, do you want me to sing a little bit today?
Maybe not.
But God has given him a very wonderful skill set that I do not possess. Well, and that's beautiful. But right now, everything that he puts into his mouth has a potential to marshal all the energies of his body toward healing and rejuvenation and repair.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another herb that I like very much. It's called astragalus.
Okay. How you spell that?
Oh, great. All right, here we go. You got a pencil handy?
I do.
Okay. A-S-T-R-A-G-A-L-U-S. Astragalus.
Astragalus.
Yeah, but okay. That's definitely one of the ones that I look at.
Okay.
But you, but really, not one thing that I'm telling you is a panacea.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had my way, I would only give him very clean sources of meat that were high in fat, like salmon and fish.
Okay.
Vegetables, and we got to get some coconut oil in him. And I can tell you what, he ain't gonna like this because he's very, very toxic right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor guy, there's going to be a little suffering. If I had my way, I would make a sauna for him in the backyard, and I would just put him in there and put a lock on it. I'm joking about that. Has he lost an incredible amount of weight?
He was skinny to start with, so, and he's already starting. He's had stomach pain, so he's having to take some Tylenol 4 for that. So, and he's actually 2.5 hours away from me, so I haven't really seen him.
If this is just stage one, that means the tumor itself is completely contained within the body of the pancreas and hasn't spread or started pushing through to the outer surface.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, obviously, if somebody has like a stage four that's metastasized, that means it's left the pancreas and it's gone to other locations within the body. But if it were me, I would hit the ground running. But he's got to hold in his mind that you've got to starve the cancer to self, to death. Well,
okay.
I should say have the cancer die to self. That's what I want. I want the cancer to have a humble and contrite broken heart. And I'll rejoice if the cancer humbles itself and dies.
That'd be great for us.
If he eats any grain whatsoever, it's game over. It ain't going to happen.
Okay.
Now I don't know a lot here. I probably know far less than the average person listening to the program because I have some genius listeners such as you, but I do know this: if he eats grains, if he eats starches, there'll be no way to turn this around.
Okay.
It's just because I'm an observant person.
Sure.
I'm really saying that because I love him and I really want him to do well, and you tell him that I love him and I'm rooting for him.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, and if you need me for any reason, you give me a shout, okay?
Thank you.
We're all going to help each other out here.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. All right. I know for a fact, if you're listening to this program and you heard the story of the man with cancer, the 50-year-old brother, I know that you're going to pray for him. Why don't we just pray for him right now? I don't even know the guy's name. Oh, gracious God and Father in the heavens above, we know that you are in your holy temple and that we should probably be quiet or silent before you. We're so thankful that you even consider hearing our prayers. Here we are, just mere mortals. We're the creation of your hands. We're on the earth below. You know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made because you made us. But Lord, we cry out to you for this man today that's 50 years old and has pancreatic cancer. Yes, he has made many mistakes, but then again, we all have made many mistakes. Please forgive us of our sins. My prayer, Lord, is that you will create exactly the right circumstances in his life, and that you would move, because we're praying and requesting this of you. I know that you don't have to, but I pray that you would move to come to his aid and that you would heal him. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes.
Hello, you have reached KBJS
90. I'm sorry, I just waited too long. That's on me. If you will, sir, forgive me for hanging up on you, but I don't know any way to undo the answering machine message. The number here is 903-586-5257. Just call me right back, and I'll get you right back in. I give you my word. I won't wait so long this time. Alrighty. If If you'd like to call and ask a question or make a comment, the phone line is once again open at 903-586-5257. If nobody wants to call, oh, here we go, here we go. Boy, my timing is exceptional today. I couldn't be more spot on if I wanted to. I didn't say I could push the buttons at the right time. I'm just into health. Alrighty. 903-586-5257. Did I get you now?
I think so.
All right, good. Thanks. Sorry about that earlier. That was my mistake.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what happened.
Oh, it had nothing to do with you. It was all on me.
Okay. Yeah, kind of a quick question. I'm wanting to start to take some Epsom salt and baking soda bath, so to speak, you know, soak and whatever. But do you have a, you know, approximate formula, how much salt, how much baking soda that you would recommend to do something like that?
How often do you want to do these?
Oh, about once a day, maybe even twice a day. I don't know, but at least once a day.
Well, what's your purpose? What do you want to accomplish?
I've got some serious medical issues and trying to get some toxic stuff out. And
do you have any trouble with just major blood pressure problems or kidney problems?
Well, I'm having some trouble with kidney problems.
Well, then why don't we just do it this way right here? Can you tolerate hot water, or does it need to be a little bit less than hot?
Well, I can tolerate fairly hot, but, I mean, I wouldn't want to just be hot only. I'd probably put in, you know,
No, if your water heater is set at like 130, that wouldn't not.
I can, especially if I do kind of go slow and, you know, bump up heat slowly, I can.
That should be fine. I mean, if it was super hot, your wife would probably start peeling potatoes and putting those in the bathtub with you, and that wouldn't be a good sign, would it?
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be good. You know, and of course, I could be the meat, and maybe you could save money, wouldn't have to go to grocery store. So.
Yeah, that's a great thought.
Yeah.
No, if you're gonna do it every day or twice a day, you could very, very easily just use 1 cup of baking soda, 1 cup of apple cider vinegar, and 1 cup of Epsom salt.
1 cup of baking soda, 1 cup of how much salt again?
A cup.
One cup of it, every cup. And then also 1 cup of apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, now it's not my fault if you don't put water in the bathtub first and you add the baking soda to the vinegar. I mean, if there's a nuclear volcanic eruption in your bathtub, I have nothing to do with that, buddy.
You want nothing. You won't take the claim to that. No.
Okay. I'm giving you a disclaimer that the vinegar and the baking soda, they may kind of like explode slightly. But that's okay. It's not my bathroom. What difference does it make?
But you think you need the apple cider to...
Well, I mean, it's just, if you're just trying to cover all your bases, if you're trying to heat your body up, which is a very good plan, and then you want to add Epsom salt and baking soda and apple cider vinegar, I think all those are unique substances that have been around since the beginning of time, and what they'll do is they help promote detoxification. They're very gentle. And plus, your wife will say, "What is that exotic, pleasant aroma coming from the bathroom, sweetheart?"
Really?
Why are all the flies going circling the bathroom door when you're in there?
Yeah. There you go.
I think a cup of each would probably be just very, very safe, very good. You know what? If I had my way, I'd send you down to Gulf Shores, Alabama, right now.
Yeah, just to go in there and go on the beach, huh?
That's right. Well, you're supposed to move from the beach into the Gulf, but yeah, you get the idea.
Yeah.
And then I would force you at gunpoint to eat delicious seafood, and you would resist, but I would make you against your will.
Oh. Well, no, you wouldn't have forced me on that.
Oh, and we could squeeze
it. I like fish.
Man, this could work out.
I could go with that. I usually eat a lot of salmon, but I could probably convert to salt water. So that I could probably do that.
You know what I would do if it were me?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a fairly warm day today. Is that right?
Well, I don't know. I haven't found too many days lately that haven't been fairly warm.
Well, then...
You're probably right. Even if you don't know what you're talking about, you're probably right.
I'm not the weatherman here, but I'm guessing it's going to be warm today.
Yeah.
If you were to sunbathe on both sides of your body enough to where you were perspiring profusely, then you wouldn't have gotten the hot bathtub. I bet you it'd work better. But what I'm going to recommend is there's a type of tea. It's known as hibiscus tea. And you can purchase that easily. I walked by an aisle in Walmart this morning, and it said $2.98 for hibiscus tea.
Oh, hibiscus tea.
Oh, yeah. The stuff tastes, if you ask me, it tastes good.
Yeah?
It's not a caffeinated tea like black tea or orange pekoe is, but it's really, really good in hibiscus. It's very gentle, and I think you'll have a very good effect at trying to help cleanse your body and help your kidneys.
Okay, well, I'll consider that too then.
Do you have any trouble with constipation?
Not typically.
Sometimes when I'm trying to help detox a person, I might recommend Smooth Move Tea once or twice just to try to help clean them out a little bit. I don't mean anything as a drastic action, but I mean, you know as well as I do that when a person has constipation, they're just reabsorbing all the toxins in their body back into the bloodstream, and that sure ain't good.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. Smooth.
Move tea.
What, tea?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I even saw that on the shelf this morning. You know what I should do? I should start doing a contest on answering multiple choice questions, and the winner gets a box of Smooth Move tea.
Yeah, there you go.
How many participants do you think I would have on a Saturday morning?
I don't know that would increase your audience.
Oh, great. See, another great idea.
You might need something else.
Well, just give me an idea. What else could I offer that might entice people to participate?
Well, how about that? You could pay for that trip down to Gulf Shores, Alabama, maybe.
Hey, as soon as I come up with the money, that's when I'm going to offer the trip.
Yeah, or that seafood.
Oh, that's a splendid idea. Listen, every time I need to come up with a good idea, I'm going to call you because those are two splendid ideas.
Yeah, so there you go. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
I wish you the very best. Let me know how it works out.
Okay. Will do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
See there, that guy has got his head screwed on properly. I mean it in a good way. He is thinking, what can I do to change the fortunes of my body for the better? And so he's thinking, maybe I need to kind of help promote detoxification. And so when you drink fluids, actually, I know you've heard this before. One of the oldest remedies of all time, when somebody has kidney issues, in which you realize the kidneys are a very specific filtration detoxifier of the blood, right? The problem is the kidneys and the bladder, they don't really give off many symptoms. Your kidneys could be easily 80% gone, shut down, damaged, before you might even feel a little ache somewhere along the flank of your body. It's true. That means you could have 50%, you could have one kidney dead and one kidney working, you wouldn't even know it because they don't give off any symptoms. But one of the oldest remedies of all time is taking a gallon of water and squeezing about 3 or 4 lemons into it, or the juice thereof, and adding maybe a good pinch of cayenne pepper and then some maple syrup. You know, it won't really be that sweet, but if you drink that over the course of the day, I think that's been called the master formula. They actually sell that in the stores now. If you want to just go to the refrigerated section and say, oh, really, there's cayenne pepper and lemon juice and water and just a touch of maple syrup. How about that? I love it. I think it tastes great. But you're doing yourself a favor. Folks, we do not live in the Garden of Eden anymore. If I knew where the entrance was, I would go there myself today, but how am I going to get past that angel with the flaming sword that blocks me from the eastern entrance? I hadn't figured that one out. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well. I'm outside an awful lot and have been much of my life, but lately I've been quite dizzy after I've been outside, especially if I tip my head back and move it forward, not quickly, just lean back and stand up again. The whole vision thing goes fuzzy. And
well, as a general rule, is your skin dry?
No.
Good. Do you have any brown spots on your hands and arms and face?
Little tiny ones and freckles.
Well, freckles don't count. I mean, freckles are probably what your husband say makes you super cute, right?
Absolutely.
He says that all the time, right?
I think so.
Okay, good. Well, if you're leaning your head forward and backward, what I'm concerned about is the oxygen saturation of the body. And I wish I could tell you getting one of those Ults oxygen pulsimeters was like super accurate, because, I mean, they're just measuring the tip of the finger. I don't know if that's really a great reflection of all over the body. So let me give you some options. Are you pretty good about drinking fluids?
Oh, yes.
One thing that you could try is just drinking a bottle of tonic water that contains quinine. And I'm pretty sure they make tonic water that's full of sugar, and they probably make tonic water that's not full of sugar. Guess which one I'm going to have you go for?
Have to think about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you, the one without sugar. And so have you ever heard of an alcoholic beverage called a gin and tonic?
Yes.
Well, I've only heard of it. I don't drink it either, but that would be tonic water that would be added to that form of alcohol. But it contains quinine. And so the other thing that I would think of, one of my most favorite herbs that I have seen such good results with is hawthorn. And hawthorn is so good. It's just fabulous at helping improve the quality of a person's blood and oxygen levels.
Okay.
And so if your husband were to massage your calf muscles, let's just paint a picture here. You're wearing your athletic outfit, and you lay on your tummy on the couch or on the bed, and he takes some lotion or some oil, and he starts taking his thumbs and massaging deeply into your calves. What would that feel like?
Sometimes it would be painful. I'm also getting some great discomfort on the outboard side of my shin. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're going to see when your body's low in oxygen. You're going to find that those muscles become congested, and they become ropey and knotted. And all the old-time doctors, they used to call your calf muscle the second heart anyway. It's supposed to pump all the blood back to your brain. And mm-hmm. So if you've got some congestion in there, so if he takes some lotion, I'm like rubbing my calves right now. You know what? I'm being honest with you. I feel one small patch between the two, the medial and the lateral gastrocnemius. It's a little tender, so I'm going to go straight to the office and grab some hawthorn. I'm not nuts. And so if you tried those two things, hawthorn, see if maybe you start to see a good balance. But also, it's not going to hurt you to take a half a teaspoon of baking soda every day and maybe make yourself a delicious lemonade with some lemon juice, as in real lemon juice.
Okay.
Do you have a drone?
A drone?
Yeah, do you have a drone? Okay, good. So you haven't flown over my backyard to see my lemon tree, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, this little lemon tree, I rescued it from the parking lot, and at one time I had over 100 blossoms on it, and I'm going, there's no way this little guy can support 100 lemons. Guess how many lemons I have now?
100.
No, 3. Evidently it decided 3 was the only number that it could actually support, which I kept thinking, If there's 100 lemons on this sucker, it's just going to split it down the middle. It's going to weigh it down. It's just not big enough. But evidently, in God's grace and timing, he knew the lemon tree, mine, couldn't support this, but it could support 3. And so I'm growing 3 lemons, but as soon as they're ripe, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to squeeze them in water and make some lemonade.
Okay.
You've never heard that phrase before, that if life gives you lemons, make lemonade? You never heard that, have you?
Never, ever.
Well, give me some more clues here. Throw something else at me. Help me understand this. I mean, do you feel good in every other way?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Well, I would work at trying to clean your blood. And so try these things and let me know what happens.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. There is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials. I don't think I've mentioned that until now, but if you're a faithful listener, you know this program is Health Essentials. 903-586-5257. All right. I came across some information I'm going to choose to share with you here. And so the question is, and this has been asked by many people many times, it has to do with coconut oil. And what I was going to allude to, my father-in-law, Bob, I tried to give my mother-in-law some coconut oil to help save her liver and gallbladder, but he promptly threw it in the trash can, stating that he's not listening, so it doesn't matter. So, anyway, I mean nothing offensive by that, but it promptly went into the trash can, and that did not go well. So, I mean, but you know, it's just the way it is, folks. You can do whatever you can to come to somebody's aid, but if they will not participate, hey, let them come up with a better plan on their own. But my desire was to increase coconut oil and decrease the massive consumption of sugar and carbohydrates, trying to relieve all the stress on a person's liver. I mean, the liver is an incredible organ. You may not know this, but the body will basically shut down blood flow to the brain before it does the liver. That should tell us how important the liver is. It really should. Okay, here's the question. So, does coconut oil improve or worsen cholesterol values? So, you go to a doctor, and they say, haven't seen you in a year. We're going to do a lipid profile. We're going to measure your total triglycerides, total cholesterol, the good cholesterol, as they call it, which is the HDL, and we're also going to measure we think is the bad cholesterol, which is the LDL. And so, in order to cut through all the rhetoric of the opposing viewpoints, producers at the British Broadcasting Corporation's television series called Trust Me, I'm a Doctor, I haven't watched that show, by the way, they decided to sponsor a study to get to the bottom of the controversy. The Trust Me team contacted K.T. Kaw, that's K-H-A-W, she's an M.D. and Ph.D., so you know she's super smart and very educated, and Nita Faruhi, M.D., Ph.D., they're both eminent researchers at the University of Cambridge to conduct the study. I think I've heard before that Cambridge might be a little prestigious. Yeah. I'm certain that if you have a degree from Cambridge that you might go places that you may not go if you just only have a degree from TJC. I'm just saying, I don't know. The study was designed to observe what effect eating different types of fat would have on cholesterol levels. Now remember, coconut oil is evil and bad, right? I hear it all the time. So there were three different types of fats that were compared. Coconut oil, which is 92% saturated fat. They also chose unsalted butter, because everybody knows salt is evil, correct? Which unsalted butter is 66% saturated fat. And then for the last oil, they chose olive oil, which is 14% saturated and 77% monounsaturated. That's one of the reasons why it's liquid at room temperature. They were able to procure 94 volunteers, and the age range was from 50 to 75. To be in the study, they had no history of diabetes or heart disease, and they were recruited just for this purpose to participate in the study. The volunteers were randomly assigned to one of three groups, with each group instructed to add one of the three fats into their diet. Every day for 4 weeks, they were asked to consume 50 grams of their assigned oil. That's just every day. That's 3 tablespoons. So, depending who you were in the study, you either had 3 tablespoons of coconut oil, 3 tablespoons of butter, and 3 tablespoons of olive oil. I'm kind of thinking to myself, I would do all that with all three. Gladly, every day. Before the volunteers started on their new high-fat regimen, blood samples were taken to get a baseline measurements, in which they focused mainly on their LDL cholesterol, HDL cholesterol levels, And LDL cholesterol, which makes up the most of the cholesterol in our blood, is often referred to as the bad cholesterol. However, it is only the small particle LDL that is actually implicated in increased heart disease risk, not all LDL, as so many physicians are fond of saying. All right, here's the punchline. As expected, the butter eaters, that's 3 tablespoons a day, they saw an average rise in their total LDL levels of about 10%, which was almost matched by a 5% rise in their HDL levels. I think I saw a guy the other day whose HDL cholesterol was at 23, and I thought to myself, oh boy, something's going to have to give here. Taken together, the overall effect on the heart disease risk was really just negligible. Those consuming olive oil, they had a small, non-significant reduction in LDL cholesterol and a 5% increase in HDL cholesterol, supporting the oil's healthy reputation. Now, the big surprise, folks, and yeah, this is the punchline, the big surprise was the coconut oil. Remember, 3 tablespoons a day? Not only was there no rise in the LDL levels, which is very, very contrary to the researchers' expectations, and I should add the American Heart Association, they don't like that, but there was particularly a large rise in HDL of an impressive 15%. Now, this may not sound like much, but if your HDL cholesterol was, say, at 50, and it rose by 15%, well, wouldn't that go from 50 up to 57.5? Well, that's a big deal, because HDL cholesterol is that specific particle in your blood that removes plaque and toxic debris from the lining of the arteries. Now, folks, that's kind of a good deal if you want to be healthy. So the people consuming the coconut oil, they had significantly reduced their risk of suffering a heart attack or a stroke. Okay. The researchers were very surprised by the results. Dr. Call confessed that she didn't understand why the coconut oil provided better numbers than even olive oil. And I'm quoting her, "I have no real idea," she said. And I'm quoting again, "Perhaps it's because the main saturated fat in coconut oil is lauric acid. And lauric acid may have different biological impacts on blood lipids to other fatty acids. The evidence for that comes mainly from animals, so it was fascinating to see this effect in free-living humans." Oh, brother. I know. The study provided further evidence that people consuming coconut oil are at a reduced risk of developing heart disease, despite claims from the American Heart Association, which bases its prejudice against coconut oil solely on the saturated fat content and not on actual studies. This was not the only study to show that coconut oil reduces the risk of heart disease. Animal studies have clearly shown that coconut oil has the potential to reduce atherosclerosis, which is, you know, hardening of the inner lining of the arteries, and prevent and perhaps even reverse cardiovascular disease. I just find that so fascinating. Other human studies show that coconut oil reduces all of the common risk factors associated with cardiovascular disease, including waist circumference. You know what that means? Coconut oil equals a smaller waist. Just tell me if there's anything that you're interested in. I just got a text from a very important person. He may be a Mensa member. Other human studies show that coconut oil lowers body mass index. It reduces blood pressure. It improves the cholesterol ratio. It lowers blood triglycerides. It lowers your glucose and inflammation. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I have a question about visceral fat. How can someone reduce their visceral fat?
Well, you've got to train the body to start consuming it.
And how do I do that?
All right. Do you know what, when you go to the doctor and they do a lipid profile, there's a form of a fat they measure called triglyceride.
Right.
That's what visceral fat is made of. Triglycerides. It's the only stored form of fat. And so triglycerides, well, let's just break it down into two words. What does tri mean?
Three.
Exactly. It's three sugar molecules to form fat. So the only way to reduce that or to change that is by lowering triglycerides. Now, this is just my idea here, but when triglycerides are closer to 50 to 70, it's very, very easy for your body to start saying, hey, we don't have enough energy, let's start burning what we have in reserve. Does that make sense?
It does.
If a person is eating grains, grains are basically millions upon millions of sugar molecules that are loosely bolted together into a form of a sugar called a starch. And so whether it's potatoes or corn or pasta or chips or noodles or bread or donuts, that's all starch right there. Well, the donuts probably have some sugar added to it. But when that hits your stomach, it's going to blow up like a nuclear bomb, and sugar is going to explode everywhere, and your body is not going to be able to burn that stuff off.
Okay. So mostly eat meat and vegetables then?
Yes.
Okay.
And when you eat vegetables that are lower in starch, that's going to give you the biggest bang for the buck. And that's going to be things like asparagus and broccoli and cabbage and kale and spinach and all the different forms of lettuces and zucchini and cucumbers and pickles. Those are all low in sugar. And so when you eat those, you're trying to help lower your insulin level. That's one of the reasons why people do very, very well with exercise and intermittent fasting. And so let's just say that you have your very last meal tonight at 6 o'clock in the evening. And when you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, basically you've had a 12-hour fast, right?
Right.
If you were to push this back, and so tomorrow you're going to get up and go to church probably.
Yes.
And so if you just lose yourself in ironing clothes, like I'm sure I've got this right, you probably spend much time pressing your husband's shirts and his socks and underwear and tank top and everything, right?
Yeah, who told?
I didn't want to say, but you're the wife of the year. I know that. But if you just lose yourself in staying busy and you don't eat breakfast, if you take 6 hours from 6 a.m. to 12, that's an 18-hour fast. That is the greatest way to lower insulin levels. Insulin is the number one hormone that tells you that you've got to start storing sugar in the form of fat. And so you got to lower your insulin levels. And so the greatest technology of all time is called fasting and exercise, because when you exercise, you definitely train the body to improve how it responds to insulin. Boy, that's what you want right there. And so you might consider a couple of days a week just skipping breakfast.
Okay.
The number one reason why people don't lose weight is they just have a toxic overload. It's got to come out of them.
Okay. Is there anything else I need to do? Kind of like my last triglycerides were like 104.
We need to cut those in half.
Yeah.
So if your triglycerides get around 50, 55, 60, you'll lose weight with no effort whatsoever. If your blood sugar goes below the number 89, it will be much, much easier to lose weight. But it's insulin that drives all this. You've got to get insulin to go down, down, down. And so I'm just making this up as I go, okay?
Okay.
But if you said, my trainer says I should have chicken breast and broccoli and rice for lunch. I didn't say that was bad, but the rice is going to be a starch and a grain. It's going to explode with a boatload of sugar inside of your body. And so if you eat rice, even one meal, there's no way to get your insulin levels lower. And so what we do is just don't eat grains. I know that's hard. But I have a feeling, yep, by talking to you, you have a dream of what kind of health you want, right?
Yes, I do.
And your husband does also, because he said, sweetheart, you'll be able to do twice as much ironing work if you just had a little bit more energy. And I like that, sweetheart.
Well, you know it.
What's his first name, by the way?
James.
I knew it. It's James.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the radio, give me a shout, 903-586-5257. I know. I just kind of laid that out super, super simple and easy, but the people that do the very, very best are the ones that exercise. Oh, my word. It's just night and day. And what you're doing is you're trying to train your muscles to be very efficient furnaces to burn fuel. And so if a person says, you know what, I'm just going to do walking, and I'll be the first to admit, I've seen huge transformations among people if that's the only exercise they did. But when you take off walking for the first 10 minutes, you might be only, you know, burning 10% fat at the 10-minute mark, and the rest of it is like 90% sugar. And so, but the longer that you walk, the more efficiently your body gets at burning fat. So once you get at the 45-minute mark, oh yes, now we're cooking, sister. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'd like to see if I get an answer to my second question that I gave you last week.
Okay.
Well, you don't forgot, did you?
totally forgot. Sorry.
I know it. I'd ask you about restless leg syndrome. What can you do about restless leg syndrome?
Well, there's several options. Number one, it's for your wife, right?
Yes, for my wife.
Okay. Well, I remember part of it, but anyway, I can't read your mind, so that's good you told me. But it was
she has stomach problems, and then restless leg.
What I want you to do is every night before she goes to bed, rub castor oil on her legs and just cover her legs with wool socks.
Yeah, I try to do that, but she won't let me rub castor oil on her. Well, I don't know why.
All right, we failed at that one. We're going to have to go on to Plan B. The main issue is she doesn't have enough oxygen to her legs, and it's just as simple as that. So it's really hard with the diabetes because there's not much that just sucks up all the oxygen like heavy blood sugar does.
Yeah.
Now, I need to ask you, is it technically against the law for me to kidnap your wife and take her to the Caribbean?
No, you can go ahead and take her. She'd probably enjoy that.
Okay, good. Just tell me her current location, and we'll send a group of men in a black van by the house.
I promised her a cruise on her 10th anniversary, and we're going on her 38th, and still hadn't got that cruise
yet.
Oh,
no, I'm going to take care of that. But since if I kidnap her, she's only going to be able to eat vegetables and fish, just two meals a day.
Two meals a day.
Yeah, that's the only way you reverse it. What'd you say?
She only does like one meal a day.
Well, we have to get enough nutrients in her body in order to effectively heal it, and so she probably has a very significant B vitamin deficiency.
Deficiency, yep.
So you might look at hawthorn, magnesium, zinc, baking soda. She just needs lots of natural B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather spend my time and energy thinking about rejuvenation.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I've already gone past the program again. I did it to you. So call me next week, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.